Hello, my bookish friends. How are you? Welcome back to Mary M's Book Pod. We are up to episode number 15. How's that? See, I was prepared this time. Sometimes I'm like scrambling to figure out what number episode we're on, but I was smart this time around and I wrote it down. Can I give myself a gold star for that? So today we're going to do just a reading catch up. It's going to be real, you know, really laid back. Going to have some bookish chat and nattering going on here. I just finished a novel about an hour ago, so that'll be fresh in my head. I received a couple books in the mail. I got my Bookcase Club membership box books that came in, so I want to tell you about those. I have a book that I bought on Instagram that I want to talk to you about. And as of right now, that's all I have lined up. Let's see if we can get through this and not take up all of your afternoon or all of your night whenever you're listening. So let's start with my Instagram purchase. I often, maybe more than I'd like to admit, I buy a lot of books from Rachel over at her store, Fox Used Books, on Instagram. So her handle is easy, Fox Used Books. And she has like a great selection of books and a lot of classics. And I found what I love about her Instagram store is that basically I see things that I've never seen before and they're very reasonably priced. So I saw this Victorian verse and prose collection, and it's called the Victorian Posy. And it comes in this beautiful, I'm a sucker for a nice slipcase. How about you guys? So it comes in this cute little precious slipcase, and it is, like I said, it's a treasury of verse and prose. So it's broken up into, it's broken into four categories: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And the poetry ranges from everybody from Thomas Hardy to, let's see, to Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I mean, I am just mesmerized by the illustrations and by the paintings. And don't we all also, other than loving a nice slipcase, don't we also all love a ribbon in a book? Built-in bookmark. Doesn't get better than that. So I look forward to reading this, and it's both visually and I'm sure literarily. Oh boy, it's going to be a long one, right? This thing's a treasure, and I'm very glad I picked it up. And again, if you're interested in checking out Fox Used Books, they're over on Instagram, and Rachel runs the store. So next up, let's go over the books that I received in my Bookcase Club membership box. Now we have two books here. One I already have, but fear not. Here's the thing. Half of the fun in belonging to a membership box like this is not knowing what you're going to open, right? To me, that's like half of the fun. So even if I open it up and I see a book I already have, not a big deal, because I visit little free libraries so much in the area that I'm like, you know what? I'll just share this one. I'll pay it forward and, you know, what is it? Leave a book, take a book. What's the slogan? Now it's escaping me. But anyway, I'm just going to put this book in a little free library and pick out something I might like to read. So the first one here, this is the one I have. It's The Turn of the Key by Ruth Ware. And if you are like, well, if you are, you probably already know who Ruth Ware is, but if you don't, here are a couple other titles by her: In a Dark, Dark Wood, The Woman in Cabin 10, The Lying Game, and The Death of Mrs. Westaway. So that was book one in the box. A lot of people relate this to Turn of the Screw, so maybe you've read that classic. A lot of people say it's much like that. I really enjoyed this one. The second book that I received in my Bookcase Club box is Star of the North, and this is by D.B. John. Now, I have to admit, I don't know this author, but let me give you the little the little rundown on what this one's about. Years ago, Jenna's twin sister vanished, and the world believes she drowned. But when a North Korean kidnapping operations is unmasked, Jenna realizes the devastating truth. Her sister is alive, and the only way she'll ever see her is if she can rescue her twin from North Korea. Which means Jenna, now living in Washington, D.C., will need to abandon her comfortable life for recruitment into the only organization that can help her, the CIA. Hey, that sounds pretty interesting. So this is, I meant to mention, for those that care. So the Ruth Ware book, The Turn of the Key, came in paperback. And this Star of the North by D.B. John is a hardcover. So just wanted to share. And whenever I do get to Star of the North, I will report back to you. Okay, I know I rushed through those a little bit because I wanted to get to the novel that I mentioned that I finished this late this afternoon. So the one I want to talk about, it's called Pew by Catherine Lacey. Pew like a church pew. She also wrote The Answers. This is a book that I saw quite frequently on BookTube and on Bookstagram, kept popping up in front of me. So last weekend or the weekend before was Independent Bookstore Day. So I went to my local bookstore that I always go to, and I wanted to, you know, support them. So I picked a copy of Pew up along with some other used books, and you're going to ask which ones, and I should have brought them over here because now I don't remember what I bought. I know I bought a couple other books, they also have a small used section, so I bought a couple used ones too. But anyway, back to Pew by Catherine Lacey. Let me give you a little summary on what the book is about, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the author, and then we'll get into more thoughts. In a small, unnamed town in the American South, a church congregation arrives for a service and finds a figure asleep on a pew. The person is genderless and racially ambiguous and refuses to speak. One family takes in the strange visitor and nicknames them Pew. As the town spends the week preparing for a mysterious forgiveness festival, Pew is shuttled from one household to the next. The earnest and seemingly well-meaning townspeople see conflicting identities in Pew, and many confess their fears and secrets to them in one-sided conversations. Pew listens and observes while experiencing brief flashes of past lives or clues about their origin. As days pass, the void around Pew's presence begins to unnerve the community, whose generosity erodes into menace and suspicion. Yet by the time Pew's story reaches a shattering and unsettling climax at the Forgiveness Festival, the secret of who they really are, a devil or an angel, or something else entirely, is dwarfed by even larger truths. Pew, Catherine Lacey's third novel, is a foreboding, provocative, and amorphous fable about the world today, its contradictions, its flimsy morality, and the limits of judging others based on their appearance. With precision and restraint, one of our most beloved and boundary-pushing writers holds up a mirror to her character's true selves, revealing something about forgiveness, perception, and the faulty tools society uses to categorize human complexity. That's a lot to unpack, right? As people say. All right, let me give you a quick bio on Catherine Lacey, and then we're going to get into it. I'm going to try to figure out how I felt about the book. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can... Let's get to the bio. Catherine Lacey is the author of the novels Nobody Is Ever Missing and The Answers and the short story collection Certain American States. She has received a Guggenheim Fellowship, a Whiting Award, and a New York Foundation for the Arts Fellowship. She was a finalist for the New York Public Library's Young Lions Fiction Award and was named one of Granta's... Am I saying that right? Granta's? Yes. Oh, boy. It's going to be a long one, isn't it? She was the finalist for the New York Public Library's Young Lions Fiction Award and was named one of Granta's Best of Young American Novelists. Her essays and short fiction have appeared in The New Yorker, Harper's Magazine, The New York Times, The Believer, and other publications. She was born in Mississippi and she is based in Chicago. Okay, guys, I have a lot to say, and I hope I make sense. Okay, so, did I already mention this? I read the physical copy. I supported this book twice. I bought it in the bookstore, and then I also bought the audiobook, because it just happened to be, while I was reading this book, sometimes I was inside sitting on the couch, and then it's been pretty nice out, so I've been walking a lot with my dog. So I listened to it maybe 50% and read 50% of the book. So for those of you that do that, you're like, oh yeah, I do that all the time, and others may think that's strange, but that's what I do. If weather permitting, or if I'm in the car a lot, I will listen to some of the book in the car. So, I don't know where to start. This book has received, you know, most of the reviews that I saw on BookTube, most of the reviews that I read online, you know, it receives a lot of praise. And not that I'm panning it. I'm certainly not. I mean, you know, I'm not an animal. Like, I can see the value in some of the conversations that this book brings up. I mean, everything from gender identity, how society defines us by being a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, or how society just has the need to label people as something just so they can figure things out in their own minds. This book opens up conversations of gender roles, of someone's skin color, of races. I mean, it really brings to the forefront all these important conversations. No questions there, period. Not, you know, that's what it does, no doubt. But I don't know. You know, sometimes some books, people will say, oh, you know, it's when you read that, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable. You're supposed to think, and again, I can clearly understand the importance of that when reading someone's work. But in order for me to feel uncomfortable, or maybe uncomfortable is the wrong word, but I just feel like this is a better way to put it. I just feel like I need to care more. And it was weird. I found in this book, there are moments where I was so into the story, right? And I just, especially when Pugh was listening to the, you know, the different townspeople, she or he, I just did it, right? I assigned her she, because to be honest, when I listened to the audiobook, and to me, the voice, the person that voiced the audiobook to me sounded female. So there you have it. So I'll say when the character Pugh was kind of being, you know, taken around and different townspeople were talking to them, some of those stories were, I got wrapped up in some of those characters, some of those townspeople's stories. So I'd be very into the story, into this book, right? But then there were other times where I just kind of slipped out because I felt like I didn't have enough information on anybody to care too much about anyone, if that makes any sense. Meaning, it's not that I obviously am interested in all of these topics and situations that this book opens up the conversations to, but I couldn't care enough about any one character. And there were even moments where you felt uncomfortable by somebody's persistence to find out if Pugh, you know, they were referring to Pugh, or they, you know, they're a boy or they're a girl, you know, back and forth. And there were moments where I felt very uncomfortable with that, because in your mind you're thinking, well, who cares, right? So there's that point of it. And then I just think it's almost as if Catherine Lacey, and again, who am I? I mean, you know, this author apparently has received several awards and is a bestseller and all that. I'm not, you know, like I always say, like, first off, I'm not even a book reviewer. I'm just a reader, right? So I don't want to act like I know how to write a good book or something. So I just think that I'm stumbling. It's almost like you are to assume too much, right? The author maybe thinks you already know a lot about these characters, and because I didn't feel that I did, because I feel like I wasn't given enough of them, that leads me back to what I was saying before. I didn't have enough to go on to care more. Am I making any sense? You know, it's funny, when I have open in front of me, I have the Goodreads page opened up, and this book has gotten, you know, great reviews. And when I read, do you ever read reviews of books and you're like, hey, how come I didn't get that from from the book that I read, right? I'm just looking at something that's, let's see, this person, Zoe Tron. They said, what an odd little book this was. Thought-provoking, unsettling, that's a great word to describe this book, and somehow quite wonderful. The value we put on the look of an individual, judging, always judging, gender, race, age, origin. If you welcome endings in which the author is comfortable without allowing her readers to use their imaginations, you can run wild with this one. The ambiguity of Pew is awesome. That's actually a great review. It is, I have to, you know, it's funny because I finished this book, and I know I always talk about how I kind of hate rating books with a 5-star system. A lot of people don't like to star books, but I don't know what I'm going to rate this, because I can't, I think, hey, you know what? Thanks everyone. 'Cause I think you just figured it out for me. I just think this is the kind of book you don't say, well, for me personally, I'm not like, oh, I love that book, because it was unsettling. I have more of an unsettling, uncomfortable feeling having finished this versus reading something that makes you feel like warm and bubbly, or that had like a twisty ending or something, and that gives you a different feel. But anyway, I really don't know how I'm going to rate this on Goodreads. I need to mark it as finished, because I do. And oh well, that'll be for me to ponder and stew over later on. So there you have it. Pew by Catherine Lacey. Thought-provoking, unsettling. I have no idea. If any of you were to ask me, did you like it? I don't know. So it goes to show, right, that reading is such, it's just an experience. An experience doesn't mean something has to feel fantastic or fuzzy or anything, right? It's just that this book took me for a ride, and regardless of what I end up rating it, Catherine Lacey got my support twice for Pew. Right? I bought it in physical form, and I bought the audiobook. So I don't know, guys. I'm stuck. There you have it. That's my feedback on Pew. If any of you have read this book, please let me know. You can always email me at marymsbookpod@yahoo.com. And of course, you can find me on all the social media stuff. As promised, every episode, I leave you with a departing quote. Today, we're going with something from F. Scott Fitzgerald. This is from The Great Gatsby. And I thought it was sort of fitting to what we just talked about with Pew. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone, just remember that all people in this world haven't had the advantages that you've had. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today. It was fun chatting. It was fun nattering on, especially about Pew. That felt like a little bit of a therapy session for me. I need to go sit with this and figure out how I feel about the book. But anyway, seriously, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. And remember to enjoy those books. I'll talk to you guys soon.